I guess it thinks it's your butt. Oh, good. It's nice to have somebody in charge of... in charge of my life. I need that.
In charge of being a pain in the butt.
Nah. Okay. What I want to look at briefly is these loops. Most of you have encountered loops before, so I just want to talk a little bit about how they work in here. There are three kinds of loops that we're going to be looking at.
Okay, which one did you go into?
Fourth group.
Okay.
Okay. So there are three kinds of loops, and there is the math while. And let's make that... Okay, so we have the while loop, which is pretty standard. So I'm saying here, while count is less than or equal to something else I defined. And for this one, I defined a start number, I defined an end number, and I have count set up as well. And so I said, let count equals start num. And so count is starting at 1. And I said, do it while count is less than or equal to endpoint. And inside the curly braces, I'm doing a calculation, I'm writing something out, and then I'm adding 1 to count. And like any kind of loop that you're dealing with, you have to basically set the control. Okay, so I did here when I said count equals start num. Okay. You have to have a test of the control, which I did, and you have to change the control. Which I did. So here I'm changing it and there I'm testing it. Okay, so those are the three things that I need to have with a loop. So I set count before I went in, I tested count, and inside the loop I made a change to count so that if I don't change it, you get into an endless loop. Okay, so you have to change it in order to avoid having an endless loop. This particular one, it's possible that I never enter the loop. It depends on what my control is. Okay, if I'd set start number at 5, then count would be 5. 5 is not less than or equal to 4, so it will not enter the loop. Okay, so there's the possibility that you'll never enter. And I'm going to write that just so that it goes out there. So it's possible not to do the loop at all. You just check and bypass it and drop right out of the loop. Okay, so that's a possibility with this. Okay, and most of the others are just kind of playing around with that. Alternate was the one where I am doing this without the curly braces. So I have an while and an end while. Okay, so this is the alternate approach that you can use in doing this. And then the other kind of a loop is a do while. And there's the do while. What happens with this one that is different than using the regular while?
It does it once.
Yeah. You're always going to do this once because the check is at the bottom. And so you hit the do and you will execute once. So you always execute at least once. Okay. And it depends, obviously, on the condition and where the numbers are, whether you do it more than once. But it executes before it checks the condition, because the condition's down at the bottom. Notice also on this one that you have the semicolon after the while down at the bottom. So you have that semicolon in there. Whereas in the while loop with the condition at the top, you just end with the curly braces and there's no semicolon. You can put the semicolon in there if you want to. Okay, so if I go back, I think I took a picture of that, but who knows. If I go back and look at the while again, I can put a semicolon right down there after the curly brace if I want to. You never see anybody do it, but you can do it if you really want to end the whole thing with a semicolon. Or at least I don't remember seeing it, but it may be just I wasn't paying good enough attention. And I actually think I'm going to make that go away. Okay, and then the other one is the for loop. Okay, where I basically am saying in the for loop, I do everything inside the loop. So here is the set. Here is the check. And here is the change. And a lot of people write that as $count++ as opposed to writing out the add one. The $count++. That really looks like three T's, but anyway, it's a $count++. So in the for loop, I have everything happening within the loop. And so I don't have to change within the loop because it's happening within the parenthesis. That's what I should have said. Everything is happening within the parenthesis. So I set it, I check it, and I change it all right within the parenthesis. And so that means inside the loop, I don't have to have anything to change it because it's being handled outside. For loop works wonderfully when you're doing things like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Not so good when you want to do something more complicated. Okay. Obviously, you could start count out at 2 and add 2 every time, and then it would go 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and you can do things like that. But it tends to be when you've got basically you're controlling it with the numbers when you tend to use the for loop. Okay, so those are the three kinds of loops. And I absolutely love this one. When you start getting the big picture, the dark colored pictures, and you start trying to read this, I just have to whine about this website. It's wonderful. I was trying to actually do something yesterday. And I really was getting more and more frustrated as I couldn't read it. Okay, so basically, I wanted you to go through and look at the loops, and I suggested that you could look at the audio that I did the last time. Okay? So that's what I asked you to do. This fifth one is, we looked at that. It's a little more of the examples of curly braces, and we really looked at that last week. So just basically go through those examples, and you should be all set on those. Okay, the other one that I want to look at that is online is this package weight one. And that one I'm actually going to run. So it's cisweb.bristolcc.edu. And then tilde, P. Grosser, and then CIS 159, S 2015, and then fourth group. And I'm running package weight gather.html. Some people, even though this one is all HTML, some people will put in the PHP here just because basically this is all a PHP set of programs. And so that even the HTML program, they will put a .php on it, which is fine. It doesn't require that there be any PHP in there to put the .php. It can just be .html stuff. So sometimes you find that. Okay, so now I've got to figure out what's wrong.
You need a slash after your PHP.
Thank you. Ta-da. Okay, so this one says calculate the cost of shipping a package. So I'm going to put in one that is 3 pounds, 7 ounces. I submit, and it tells me the weight in ounces is 55, and the cost is $6.50. Okay, so I put in 3 pounds, which is 16.32.48, and then seven more, so that was 55. So that's where I got the 55 from. And then it calculated out the cost. Okay, so if I look at this first program, all it's doing is, and I clicked on the wrong one, all it's doing is gathering the data. So I put in the pounds, I put in the ounces, and I am sending it over with a get. Okay, so it's going over with a get statement. And again, I tend to use get statements a lot because they're a great debugging thing because you can see the data when it goes over. Okay. So, if I come over here now, it is coming in here using the get. Now, what this does, this get and the post, is they set up something like an array. It's actually a hash table, but it's some kind of like an array where they hold everything that is being sent over. Okay, so I'm sending over with the get, or I'm sending over with the post, and it's creating this hash table, which, as I said, is like an array. And it holds everything that I say in it. The pounds and the ounces have been sent over. And so I can then go to this table and pull out the thing that says pounds, or I can pull out the thing that says ounces. So in this table, it's holding the fact that I sent over pounds and the amount that came over, and the fact that I sent over ounces and the number that came over. So it's holding these in the hash table. And if I sent over 20 things, that's fine. It will hold all 20. So it's kind of setting things up for you. Okay, so I then assign these, and on this one I assign them to a different name. In a lot of the examples I kind of use the same name so I don't end up confusing myself. but on this one I kind of wanted to make the point that you don't have to use the same name. I can say, okay, it came in as pounds, but I'm assigning it to $WorkLB, and I'm assigning the ounces to $WorkOZ. So I can decide that I want whatever name I want to assign it to, I can assign it to. Okay, it still came in as pounds, but I'm assigning it to WorkLB. So then I came down and I said, okay, the weight is the pounds times 16 plus the ounces. And then I wrote out the weight in ounces is, and this time I did it in three different lines. That could have all been written in one line, but in this one I just wrote out the weight in ounces is, and then the weight, and then I did a BR afterward. And if you look at the result, you can see, I thought I had the result there someplace. Guess not. I must have closed it. Okay, but if you look at the result, when we did it, you can see that it was all on one line. Okay, because I didn't put a BR until the end, so it printed out the weight in ounces is, and then it printed work weight, and then it did a BR, so it moved down. So now I said, okay, if the work weight is less than 17, okay, then work cost equals first LB. And you look up at the top, and first LB is $1.50. Okay? So if it was under a pound or under, less than 17, if it was pound of under, then my cost was 15, was $1.50 rather. Okay, my cost was $1.50. Else, and I did this in a way that this could be done with other kinds of calculations, but I wanted to put a loop in, so I therefore had to do this calculation using a loop. So I said, okay, work weight equals work weight minus 16, since there is a cost for the first pound, and everything after that is counted differently. Okay, so I've got a base cost for the first pound. So I said work weight equals work weight minus 16. And so what, we came up with 55 when I did the one I put in, so it's 55 minus 16. And so work weight is now going to be what? 39? Yeah, 55 minus 16. So I have 55 minus 16 is 39. Okay, so work weight is now 39. And work cost I made equal to $1.50 because I subtracted a pound, so I added in the $1.50 for that pound. And then I said, okay, now do the loop while work weight is less than zero. So I went in and I said, okay, work cost equals work cost plus every 4 ounces. So every 4 ounces is 50 cents. So I added 50 cents and then I subtracted 4 from the weight. And I just kept adding 50 cents for every 4 ounces and subtracting 4 from the weight until finally the weight was no longer greater than zero. Okay, so I subtracted 4 from 39, it went down to 35, and the cost went up to $2. Okay, then I subtracted 4 more, it went down to 31, and the cost went up to $2.50. And then I subtracted to 27, and the cost went up to $3. And I'm going to lose track of where I am pretty soon. So anyway, that's what I did. And then at the end, I said, print out the cost is work cost. And again, I did it in 2 lines. Okay, so I then got the cost for what this was. Okay. So this was just embedding a loop in side of an if statement, just to give you an example, basically, of doing that. So I have an if statement, and if it's true, I do one thing, and if it's false, I do some setup, and then I do a loop. Okay? And after the if statement is over, I print out the cost is, and I print out whatever is in word cost. Yes, no, maybe? Okay. I think that pretty much most of the rest of them are fairly basic. Be sure to look at quote test. Quote test is basically using lowercase, single quotes versus double quotes. And single quotes can be temperamental. So if I look at that one, cisweb.bristolcc.edu. What was it? Quote test? Mm-hmm. Okay. So here is a bunch of loops. And notice on the big first one, I have an echo and I use single quotes. And I have the echo using single quotes and it gives me, it doesn't resolve the variables. Okay, it gives me count plus count equals answer. It doesn't resolve the variables. And I do the same thing with double quotes and it resolves the variables. And then I did it with print and it works the same way. So the single quotes are not going to resolve the variables, the double quotes do. So if you are going to have a combination of variables and literals, you want to use double quotes. Okay? Because that's what I have here. I have a combination of variables and literals, as in the plus is a literal. Okay? And I've got some HTML thrown in for good measure. And if I use single quotes, it does not resolve the variables. If I use double quotes, it does. So just be careful on those. Double quotes tends to be the thing to use the majority of the time. Okay. All right. What we're going to do now is you're going to look up your password for getting inside PuTTY. Okay, so hopefully you've got a password that was sent to you where you have a series of passwords. One was to get into Linux and one was to get in to PuTTY, and I can't remember what they called that second one. And I'm hoping I remember my second one. If not, you'll all have to close your eyes while I go look it up. So, the example we're going to be following, but first you're looking up your, hopefully, looking up your passwords.
SH.
No, it's CIS Web. Oh, I'm sorry, it's MySQL. I was looking at the wrong place.
Is it MySQL.sh?
Right there. Okay, has everybody found whatever Eric sent them? And there should be two passwords there.
It's the second one's MySQL password. That's the
oh, they actually give that the name. Yeah. Neat. I thought it might be putty password or something like that.
No.
Okay, as I said, we're now going to hope that mine actually, that I remembered. I have opened the set of notes that said beginning my SQL notes, and I've opened that in the background so that I will have that. And where's putty? There it is. Okay, so I'm trying to find putty, and there it is. So I'm going to click on putty execute. Okay. And I've got cisweb.bristolcc.edu as my constant host. I am going to go in and change colors. And you can see colors over here because it's a lot easier when I'm doing it up here if I have a white background with black text than black text with a white background. You don't have to change it if you don't want to, but I'm saying I want my default background. And then I'm going to click on Modify. And I am changing it to white and saying OK. And then I'm going to default foreground and I'm changing that to black and saying OK. And then when I get that done, I'm saying open. And I'm getting a white background with black text, okay? And again, it doesn't matter if you don't do it, if you don't mind looking at the reverse. But it doesn't really show up here at all well, so I need to change mine. Okay, so there is the directions. And there is where I need to go. Okay, so I'm doing a login, and I am, whoops, I have no idea what I just did there. Okay, let me in. So, yeah.
I'm trying to type in the correct password, but it keeps denying me access for some reason. The first password is your Linux password.
The first password is your Linux password.
So I have to put in both?
Eventually. It's going to prompt us again. So your first password is you put in your username, it's the same. And then you put in your Linux password, yeah. It doesn't look like it's letting you type it in, but it actually is.
I keep getting
as in it doesn't move, but it's actually letting you type it in.
Where are we supposed to enter our login information?
When it said login as, I put in my username. And then when it came down to ask me for a password, I put in my password.
Because I'm getting a weird message on mine whenever I click open. It says the server's host key is not cached in the registry. And something about no guarantee, blah, blah, blah.
I'd say okay to any message. Okay. And see what happens. Okay, so you're putting in the username and... Okay, so let me put in the username and your Linux password. Okay. Now, when it comes up down here at CIS Web, right here, notice that line right there? That's what you're going to do, except you're going to put your username in there. Okay, so if you bring up this handout, okay, if you can't read it here, bring up the handout that I told you is at my website.
No, I see.
So we're not talking about passwords.
So now you're putting in MySQL. Okay. So here I'm sitting now, and heavens only knows what it's going to do to me since I went off and took a picture of it, but we'll see. So I'm taking, you're in, okay? You're in charge of helping everybody else.
Yeah, that's right.
You're in charge too. So anybody that's having a problem, you are in charge. MySQL, and then you type hyphen U, your username, and hyphen P. Okay, and now you're entering your next password, which is the one I think I know what it is.
Oh, the Linux password. Okay.
This is the SQL password. Yay, I remembered it. Okay, so you're entering at this point your MySQL password. So you're typing MySQL, U, your username, P, hyphen U, hyphen P.
So we're going to have to download this thing?
Putty? Yeah. Yeah, if you don't have Putty, you should download Putty. I guess I didn't even think about that because I have Putty. So why doesn't everybody else have Putty? Yes, you'll have to download Putty. It's free. And I will put up an address to download Putty, but I think it's probably just Google it and you'll find it.
It's on your site, isn't it? Is it on your site?
I don't know. I don't think I put it up on this one. It is on other things.
I think it's on the 150 site.
Probably, so I just have to copy and paste it. It's probably on the Oracle site as to where you can download Putty. I just didn't think about putting it up there last night. But if you go to my Oracle site, I'm sure it's there. Is it? Are you checking?
Yeah, it's on your Oracle site.
Okay.
Under week one.
Okay. So it's at my Oracle site, which is CIS 150, under week one. There is the Putty, and I will try to remember to put it up tonight when I get home so you can find it. But if you don't, it's under my Oracle site. Okay, how many people are in? That means most you're in. Are you in yet? Huh? Okay. If you type show databases, it should show your databases. Unfortunately, it shows me everybody's database. I keep asking to have that fixed, but they keep forgetting, I guess. Or I keep forgetting. Because I right now have 4,581 different databases. That's it. So, anyway, When it says show databases, what do you see?
I see four.
Four?
Oh, I'm typing what?
Show databases. Okay. I think you want to use the one that says your name underscore one and your name underscore two.
Not seeing it.
The show databases.
I know, it's a little...
with a semicolon after it.
Oh, okay.
The world needs semicolons after it. Show days, was that the question?
We got an error.
It's two words?
You have an error in your...
Yeah, show space.
Are you at the
right
now? Yes. Show databases with a semicolon. Should have gotten what did I type? I think I typed show databases. And I can't go back. Okay. Show databases. With a semicolon after it should show the databases. Okay. You can go. Did you get it now? Have you got them? No, which is yours a password problem?
Oh, no, this is the command sign.
Which one, why, when, where?
Yes.
Okay, that one is where you have to type the MySQL. No, no capitals. MySQL. Space. Hyphen U. No, just no.
Hyphen.
No, just a U. The letter U. Okay, space. Now you're using it. Now space under hyphen P. It was a hyphen. I didn't know till. Hyphen. Password. Ta-da! And then show databases. Okay, when you show the databases, you should get four. The one that you're going to use is the two that are your name and then underscore one and underscore two. Those are the ones that you're going to use. Now, in the real world, you get to create databases. At BCC, I get to create databases. You don't. Okay, so you have to use one of those databases. Huh?
It's not
working. Yeah, it won't even show me. It just keeps giving me an error.
Which, what, why, when, where?
Yeah, when I put in show databases, I tried it in multiple different.
Ooh, you have pretty colors. Show databases. Why do you have SQL instead of MySQL? I don't either. I suspect you... Did you log in more Oracle way?
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah.
I think that's what you probably did. Because you're used to Oracle way. What you need to have is the MySQL here,
yeah.
And I'm betting you use the SH
that
we use for Oracle.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
So, put in, go back out, come on back in, and use that MySQL to do it. Okay? So, you're going to say... use, and I put in one that I was playing around with last night called AAA test. Unknown database, wonderful. Okay. Create database AAA test. and it's now created it. So now I can say use AAA test. And its database changed. So you want to put in there a use statement and pick one of your two names. The one with the underscore one or the one with the underscore two. Okay?
Underscore two works for me.
Huh?
Underscore one says access denied.
Oh, good.
Underscore two says change.
All right. It's supposed to have two that you can work with. Okay. So, did everybody manage to get...
Also, test works.
Test works. All right. Wonderful. All right. Use something. It was supposed to be that you get the two names, and I don't actually remember why they ended up putting four in there, but the two names with your name with underscore one and underscore two are the ones that supposedly are going to work. Okay, so get inside one of those. Okay, so you're now in the database. Okay? Yeah? That's right. That's all it's supposed to say right now. And there is nothing in your database at this point. Okay? So we're now going to go in and... Okay. If you look at the notes that I said to look at, notice down here I said create database, and I created a database. And then I said use. And as I said, you can't do the create. They decided basically they didn't want to have 5,000 databases created, so they are limiting you to two databases. Or maybe three or four, who knows? But once it says database changed, you're inside. Now if you look down a little bit further, you can see in this handout, and I really would bring up this handout because we're going to be kind of following it. You can see where it says create a table. Okay. So it says, and I'm going to look for it there. All right. So it says create table test first. So let's do that, and let's call it test first, and let's actually do it. So I'm saying create table test first. Okay. And then in parentheses, I am saying my first field on the database is going to be ID number, and it's going to be an integer of four characters. Okay, so again, I'm doing exactly what's on the handout. So if you can't see what I'm doing, follow the handout. Okay, it's the beginning SQL handout. It says begin notes.doc. So now I'm going to put in the next field, and I have a choice. I can stay on the same line, or I can move down to the next line. It's up to me which one I want to do. Okay, so in the example, I stayed on the same line. Here, I'm going to move down just because. So I've now put in name, VARECARE20. And after each field, I'm writing a comma because there's another field coming up. Okay. And then if you go down to the next line, that's fine. If you stay on the same line, that's fine. Major, I'm making also a VARECARE. So I'm making these text fields what is called VARECARE. And VARECARE stands for variable character. I actually could have made them just a CHAR, and especially with the major, that might have been a good idea, because major is always going to be two characters. VARECARE is when I will have different lengths. So names are different lengths, so I use VARECARE for that. whereas major is always going to be two characters, so it would be fine to use just plain C-H-A-R for that and not the Vercare. Okay, for you who took Oracle and remember Vercare 2, this is Vercare, not Vercare 2. And now I'm going to have the GPA, and that's going to be a floating number, which is a way of saying decimal. And now I'm done with this one, so I put another parenthesis to close that initial parenthesis that I put at the top. And then I put a semicolon, and I hit enter, and it created a table for me. Okay.
I can still use my Oracle databases in this?
I don't think so.
Because it says test first already exists. And I do this like asterisk test first and it pulls up my Oracle.
Huh. That's interesting. And actually, I want to look at that at some point, but not now. So, make it another name.
I'm going to call it something else.
Right.
Test second.
Okay, so now what I'm going to do is I can say DESC. And this is test first. And that shows a description. So when if I have a table out there and I want to see what the table looks like, I can write DESC, which stands for describe, and then test first. Semicolon. Everything needs a semicolon at the end. And it gives me a description of the table. Okay. So now what I want to do is I want to put some data in the table. So you can see the insert statements that I have here. And I'm going to do an insert and insert a record into the table. So I say insert into test first, and then I write the word values and put in parentheses what I want to insert. So I'm inserting 1111. And then John Doe, I'm putting in single quotes. Whereas the number was a number field, so I didn't put it in quotes. And then I put commas to separate each one. And then I have CI. And then I have the average that I put in. And then I close the parenthesis, put in a semicolon, and it tells me that it was okay, which means it went ahead and inserted. Okay. So now I'm going to put in a second one. So the second one I have in this example is Mary Smith. So I'm going to put insert into test first, values 1, 2, 3, 4, comma, Mary Smith, comma, CI, comma, 3.4. Okay, so now I have two records in there. Okay. For you who took Oracle, this is all going to be extremely familiar. For you who took 120,
you did SQL briefly with Access, and some of that is going to be the same, like the select statement. So now I want to see my records. So I'm writing select asterisk from test first. And it is showing me the two records that I just put in. Okay, so now I have the two records that I just put in. John Doe and Mary Smith. Yeah.
You made a mistake on your entry line. How do you go back? It doesn't, like, give you an error and start back.
No, it doesn't.
No, putty is a royal pain in the neck.
Put a semicolon and go to the next line.
Probably. That's what I do.
It doesn't want to do that either. Being weird.
No, it just keeps coming back with a little one colon and...
It's not letting you put in the semicolon when you have the error? Because usually that will let it in.
Mine just keeps dropping down.
Yeah.
Okay, copying and pasting in putty. That's that line. Let me see. Okay, there's got to be a putty expert in here. Yeah?
It keeps giving me an error when I try to insert something. This is being weird.
You go help him insert something. You know what you're doing, Tom. Go do it. Everybody, yeah. Huh?
My table's not coming up.
Select asterisks isn't doing it. Select asterisks from. Okay, the way I did it was select asterisks from test first. Yeah. That's what it should do, at least. And...
I'm just going to quit. Go back.
Yeah. I don't think you have to go that far. I think you can just do the control C and go back and come in one place. It is a royal pain in the putty is, well, Syl loves putty, so go talk to Syl. I'm not a big fan of putty. We are doing this just to get you comfortable with some of the commands. Later on, in about a week, we'll start talking about how to write this within PHP. Which is just so much easier than writing it in putty. And so we'll start talking about how you can do all of this within PHP, which makes life an awful lot simpler than trying to use putty. Okay, so I'm going to add a couple of more records. So I'm saying insert into test first values, and I'm adding the rest of these records. And if you could ever duplicate what you did wrong, we can try to figure out how to get out of it, but... All right, I just did an unknown because, okay, so what I did here, if you do the up arrow, you actually can get the line back if you do the up arrow. No. And so I'm going in here and putting the quotes around that I missed. Okay, so if you do an up arrow, if you make a mistake in the typing and you do an up arrow, you can get the line back.
So that's how you can edit that same line?
Yeah. Because the editor in putty is a pain also. We'll take a little bit of a look in the at the editor, but not today. Insert into test first, and I've got values, and I've got 2, 3, 4, 5, David Costa, comma, CI, and then 3.5. And then I want to have at least one person that's not a CI major. And so I've got a BU major down a little bit further. So I'm going to put that one in. Yeah.
So is there a way I can delete a row from the table?
Yes. Yes. Delete asterisk. I think it's asterisks. I always have problems with the syntax on delete, whether it's asterisks.
Well, I think delete asterisks is really all of the rows,
right? Right. It may.
I think you have to use delete and then a where clause.
Oh, you have to use the where, but I was trying to figure out the delete. So if I put in, let's see if I told you down here. Yeah, there it is. Delete from. It doesn't have the asterisks. That's the thing I always have to fight about. Yeah, that row. So you say delete from, if you want to get rid of a record, you're saying delete from test first, where ID number equals 1999. So apparently I had somebody that I put in there with 1999 up above here where I said to delete. I always have to stop and think about the delete, whether I want to put the asterisks in there desperately. I want to say delete asterisks, because when I do a select, I do a select asterisks. And it doesn't have an asterisk. It's delete from, and then the name of the table, and then you have to do something. Well, if you don't have an ID, I could also say where name equals. But I got to have something that I can go in and identify that particular record. Right, but we haven't got there yet on primary keys. We will, but we have not. Only so much can you do in one day. And there's an update for somebody who needs to make a change to a record. And we will look at these as we go along. But since I got the question, update test first, set ID equal to 333, where the name equals Robert Brooks. So apparently I put in 5 threes for Robert Brooks, and I only wanted 4, so I was going in and changing that. Okay, so update lets me change, insert lets me add, delete lets me get rid of, and they're all in this handout. So if you take a look at them, you ought to be able to do all of those things. Okay, so I'm now saying insert into test first, values, 1, 2, 3, 4. I only want the 4 this time on Robert Brooks. If you put in the 5 like I did in the example, then you're going to have to go back and do an update to get rid of them, which is fine. And then I'm going to put insert into test first, values, 3, 4, 5, 6, comma, Amy Richards, comma, CI, okay, and so now when I say select asterisks from test first, I have 6 records in there. I don't know where you stand, but I have the 6 records that I put in. Okay. And I'll try to figure out, what did you do that you think got you into that mess? that you couldn't get out. Any idea?
American terms.
No, I've done it before and not been able to get myself out occasionally. Okay, is everybody getting a table done with records in it?
I'm not qualified to see these records for something. I don't know, it was something stupid.
So. Did you log in as?
Mm-hmm. I fixed everything. And now it's just saying that. It's just saying stupid stuff. I was like, okay, so clearly I can't do anything.
Play around with this handout, try some of the things, try doing an update, try doing a delete. Play around with it a little bit because I want to kind of get everybody going, so I'm not going to go any further. And you're playing around with making yours dance. Okay, that works too, but... yeah.
It's just like
if anybody's having problems, let me know, and Tom knows what he's doing, so he'll go and help you. Because he's done this already in Oracle.
Yeah.
No, you have to do use. You have to use one of the databases. No, I think it's one of the ones with your name on it. So let's try that. Okay, so you're now in that database.
Okay.
So now you can create a table in that database.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm trying.
Okay, so you got to get inside the database. Once you're inside the database, okay, and you have to type the use statement to get yourself to be able to use it. Okay, so right up here, the use. You're basically going to follow these instructions for testing purposes, except for the create database. You can't do that. They won't let you do that. Okay, but you have to use one of yours. So you're going to use show databases and find out what your database is. So you're going to use show databases. And when you find out what yours is, then you can use the use to pick one. So you're going to pick one. First do that, then do that. Okay, so you're going to pick one of your databases. And once you've picked one of your databases, it says database changed, which means you're inside that database. Now that you're inside that databases, databases are made up of tables. So you get to create a table. And you can set up the structure of the table to meet the needs that you have, the data that you want to put in. And I said I wanted an ID number, which was going to be an integer. I said I wanted a name, which was going to be varchar for variable characters. Major, I could have used character 2, and that would have been fine, because major is not a variable number of characters. Name is a variable number of characters. You know, Anne Doe only uses 7 characters. Jennifer Richards uses a lot more. So that's considered a varchar, variable number of characters. I put a limit of 20 because I don't want to type a lot. So any name that's over 20 gets abbreviated. So var char is a variable number of characters. Character is a fixed number. So something like state would be a character. State would be a character. Major is a character. Zip code, you should make a character. Because if you make it a number, an integer, you will lose leading zeros. And in Massachusetts, that means you're no longer a five-character zip. Okay? So with zip code, you want to use it, make it a character field, because it is five characters. Or if you add the other part, it's 10 characters.
So anytime you set it as an integer, it'll lose the leading zero?
If you set it as an integer.
Yeah.
If you set it as a var char or a char, it won't.
Okay.
But integers tend to get rid of leading zeros. And so something like zip code, where you want leading zeros, you make a character. And you're not going to do a calculation with a zip code. So there's no harm in making it a character field, because you're not going to be doing calculations using zip codes. Okay. So that's where you're at with this. And then once you have created it, you can do select statements to see it. So I can say select ID number, name, major, if I only want to see three fields. Select asterisk shows me everything. And then I can say from test first, and it will show me just those three fields. If I go on and say select ID number, name, major from test first, where major equals, in quotes, CI, then it just shows me the people that are CI majors. So Robert Brooks is not showing up in that one. So my select statement allows me to query my database table and find out the information that I want to see. Okay. We're going to pick up on this on Tuesday. My suggestion was that you play around with this over the weekend. Try to set up a table, try to do some of it, play around with it, and get a little bit comfortable with it. And then we will look far more at the queries and all the rest of it on Tuesday. Okay. Pardon me?
It's amazing. It's just like the same thing.
SQL is SQL is SQL. As I've told you, I love the Oracle course because it's the only course that I haven't had to make radical changes to. Because SQL is SQL is SQL, and it's been SQL forever. It's going to be SQL forever. And so...
Probably a lot of jobs for that, too.
Oh, there are a load of jobs for it.
Yeah.
If you really know the workings of SQL, you're pretty valuable. I mean, in Oracle, you saw how big a select statement can be. Oracle very proudly says there are only something like, I don't remember what it is, 20 commands or something. But they forget to mention that there's a million clauses that you can put on the a select statement. And... you know, when you start talking about subqueries and you start talking about all that, you've got some real complex things you can do. And it's very challenging because what you're doing is you're doing it all with one statement. If I'm writing a program, I can have a bunch of if statements. I can have a bunch of things going on with a select. You got to put it all in one statement. And that makes it far more complex.
Have you heard of SQL Zoo?
SQL what?
SQL Zoo, Z-O-O, after SQL.
Yes, it's a good site.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. In fact, I think I referenced it back on one of my pages. Yeah, SQL Zoo is a good reference point. All righty, we're done. Yeah.
I just have a quick question about this. Is that you're doing an insert into one of these graphs and decide that's not what you want to do? How do you, like, spot that?